Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and praise you. We thank you for the awesome time that we've had worshiping you already in your presence, your power, your glory here, Lord. We just literally feel the weight of your presence here among each of us. I thank you for the work you've already done in everybody that's here, Lord. And we just ask you now, as we get into your word, as we learn about the word of God, Lord, that you would give us a new hunger for the word of God in 2020, that you would just challenge us, that we would love the word of God more and just desire it, as David said, more than fine gold. It's sweeter than the sweetest honey from the honeycomb, Lord. That we would not be distracted by the things of this world, by the enemy, and that we would be diligent to spend our time in your word, because there are so many incredible blessings from spending time in your word and obeying your word. So we thank you. We ask you to help us do both this year, Lord. Spend time with you in your word and mix it with our faith and obey your word, because that's where the blessing comes from. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The word of God. David said in Psalm 119, as you know, Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible, and every single verse in there talks about the word of God except for two. So, but in Psalm 119, especially verse 97, David said, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." David constantly thought about the word of God, constantly remembered the word of God. "I love your word." Because your word is truth, right? His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. If we follow his word, read his word, and obey his word, we're not going to be walking in darkness. We're not going to be walking into things that are going to cause us pain and trouble in our life. We're not going to be walking off cliffs, praise God, amen, because we'll be able to see clearly where we're going. That's why he's given us his word. So my prayer is that we, all of us, will have an even greater love for the word of God than David expressed in Psalm 119 as we move into 2020. Of course, we know that only the word of God combined with our faith can set us free from the penalty and power of sin and give us the knowledge of how to live a holy life in our new relationship with him. That's why it's so important. The word of God played a major, major part in my salvation, much like Paul told Timothy that the word of God played a major part in his salvation. Like Timothy, the scriptures were, I believe, what made me wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul told Timothy that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, I knew nothing of the holy scriptures when I was a child. My parents didn't make us go to church, never read the Bible, never went to church for the first 24 years of my life. But praise God. Even though I was living under the influence of the world, the flesh, and the devil, when I was 24 years old, the Lord heard my cry for help because I was crying out to help. Didn't even really realize I was praying to him. But I just used his name. Oh, God, if this is all there is to life, who cares? And I was in a really bad place. But he heard that cry for help. And because of his great love with which he loved us, which the Bible tells he loves all of us, I really believe and I know I was led by the Holy Spirit to read a Bible that some missionaries had actually given to my sister. My sister worked in a restaurant, and some missionaries would come in there quite a bit. And they gave her a Bible. She brought it home. And as I was going through this and cried out for help, God led me to start reading the Bible. And praise God, I was born again. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. How awesome is the Word of God, the Bible? The Bible is supernatural. The Bible, the Word tells us, is alive and powerful, effective. Amen. There's no other book like it in the entire universe that even compares with the Bible. The Bible is the authoritative, infallible, and Holy Spirit-inspired Word of God. And the great theme from one end of the Bible to the other is redemption. Redemption, redeeming us, bringing us back to Him. God's love for the human race and God redeeming man and bringing him back to Himself after we had rebelled against Him even. Praise God. So what's the Bible about? It's all about His amazing grace from cover to cover, from beginning to end. Amen. That's why Paul says in Ephesians, we'll be speaking about the riches of His grace forever. All that we are to believe concerning God and the entire duty which He requires of us are revealed in His Word. This is the full revelation of God. Everything He wants us to know about Him and do for Him and with Him and through Him is revealed right here in the Word. And as we get together with the Holy Spirit and read it, the Holy Spirit illumines it, quickens it, makes it come alive to us, and gives us the revelation and wisdom to understand it. It's so awesome. So awesome. Why? Because it truly is the Word of God. And you have to receive it. You really have to believe. This is not just written by men. This is not just men's words. This really is the Word of God. Amen? That's exactly what Paul told the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Paul said, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." Amen? You have to always, you can't just read the Word of God. You have to have faith. You have to really believe in your heart that it's the Word of God for it to work. Amen? And when you do, Paul says it's effective. That's what the word alive and powerful. It's alive and effective. It's alive and powerful, effective. It's very effective. It works in your life. We need to read it to be wise, believe it to be saved, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct us. It's our food to sustain us and comfort to cheer us. Amen. Down through the years, the Bible, the Word of God, has been ridiculed, burned, refuted, destroyed over and over. But guess what? It lives on. Most books are born, they live a few short years, and then what? They're forgotten. But not the Bible. The Bible is preserved. It lives on. Even though the world and the devil have tried to destroy it and get rid of it, did you know that the Bible is not just a bestseller, but it is the bestseller year after year. Every year, the Bible is the bestseller in America. Did you know that? It's amazing. In the U.S., I got this from Dr. Jeremiah, one of his messages on the Word. In the United States, 50 Bibles are sold every minute, 72,000 every day, and 26 million are sold every year. That is a wow, isn't it? If you take the first five best sellers that come out every year and combine their total sales, it only comes to about 12 million. And that's how popular and how awesome the Bible is. And it's estimated that since the Bible started to be was printed and circulated, that 6 to 7 billion copies have been distributed throughout the world. 6 to 7 billion copies. Praise the Lord. Why? Because just like Isaiah said in chapter 40, verse 8, the grass withers, the flower may fade, but the Word of God will stand forever. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will remain forever. I love the word stand in Hebrew. When it says that the Word of God will stand forever, you know what that means? It has multiple meanings, and I just thought it was really awesome to share with you. The Word of God stands forever. Of course, it means it will abide, it will continue forever, it'll last forever, it will endure forever. But listen to some other definitions of the word stand here. The Word of God will help you forever. The word stand means help. The Word of God will be clearer. Isn't that weird? The word stand means be clearer. The Word of God, if you stay in it, will become clearer and clearer. You'll get more revelation and more wisdom. It'll become clearer and clearer to you all the time. I love that. And here's some really great ones. The word stand also means it will hold you up. It will lift you up. It will make you rise up. Isn't that awesome? The Word of God will hold you up, lift you up, and it will make you rise up forever. Isn't that cool? I love that. Not only rise up, it'll make you rise up again and again, and it'll make you rise up against anything that's coming against you. It will make you stand up, and I like this. The Word of God will stir you up forever. We need to be stirred up, don't we? And of course, the Word of God will strengthen you. The word stand means strengthen, and it also means succeed. The Word of God will make you succeed forever. Isn't that awesome? So let's take a look and just listen to some of the amazing benefits that we receive from reading, hearing, and studying the Word of God, which effectively works only in us who what? Believe it. Psalm 19:7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." The law of the Lord, the Ten Commandments. If you ever come and learn the way of the Master, we'll teach you why using the law of God is so important. Because the law brings you the knowledge of sin. It brings you, you have to have the knowledge of sin. You have to understand what sin is, how much how God hates it, how awful it is to Him, and how it separates us from Him. Before you can hear the gospel, before you'll really receive the gospel for the right reason, before you'll really receive Jesus Christ and ask Him to come into your life and cry out to Him for the right reason, you have to know, why did He save me? Why did He come? Because of sin. The law gives us the knowledge of sin. That's why He says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Galatians 3:24, Paul said, "Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith." His law shows us our sin and our need for a Savior, leads us to cry out to Jesus to save us. And praise God, after that, of course, the Word of God contains the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the plan of redemption, how God decided to save us through His Son, Jesus. His Word contains the gospel, which Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greeks." But a really great verse that talks about the gospel is Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14. "In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth." The word of God is the word of truth. "In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who was given to us as a guarantee of our redemption." Thank God for the Word of God, the law of God, the gospel of God. And listen to some of these blessings that David tells us from Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. He said, "Blessed is the person who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law," or in the word of the Lord, the word of God, "and in his law he meditates day and night." It's a very good practice to get into always reading the word of God when you first get up and right before you go to bed. Actually, it's part of the law. In Deuteronomy, God told the Jews to always do that. First thing you do when you get up is you share the Word of God with your family. Before you go to bed, same thing. You share the Word of God. You read the Word of God. He meditates in it. And here's the benefits. "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever they do shall prosper." bring forth fruit in due season. Where does that sound familiar? What did Jesus say about the word of God? It's the seed. Remember, the sower of the seed, the parable of the sower and the seed. And they asked, well, what's the seed, Jesus? And what did Jesus say? The seed is the word of God when it's planted in good soil, which I believe all of us are good. If you're born again and filled with God's Spirit, you're good soil already. So when you read the word of God, it's going into good soil. And Jesus promised that the word of God would bring forth what? Fruit. 30, 60, or 100-fold. Psalm 119, 165, verse 165. I love this. Great peace have those who love your law, who love your word. And nothing causes them to stumble. Think about that one. That's a powerful, powerful verse. You need peace? Get in the word of God. You don't want to stumble around and go on the wrong path and trip and fall over sin or anything else the devil or the world may throw in your path? Get in the word of God. You'll learn to dodge those obstacles and get over those obstacles. Like David said, I can leap over a wall. All right? Didn't he say that in the Psalms? Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 22, great verses to remember. And this, I love Proverbs because, you know, it's a father talking to his son or a father talking to his children. So when you read Proverbs, think of it that way. Think of it, it's Father God speaking to us and telling us, giving us instruction, giving us guidance, giving us counsel, giving us wisdom. Proverbs 4, verse 20, Father God speaking to us. My children, give attention to my words, he says. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes, which means you should be reading them, and keep them in the midst of your heart, which means we should be memorizing them also, right? For what? They are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Not only do we gain a spiritual benefit, obviously, from reading the word of God, but it says that it will bless your physical body. It is health to all your flesh. It's exactly what it's talking about. It's amazing. To stay healthy, make sure that you're filling your heart and your mind with his words. Because then you'll be healthy, not only healthy, but what? Full of life. And not just natural, soulish life, but his God life, his Zoe life. Amen. Remember what Jesus said about the words of God in John 6, 63. He said, the words that I speak to you are what? They are spirit and they are life. The word of God is alive and powerful. And in that chapter in John chapter 6, that's where Jesus asked Peter and the disciples, are you guys going to leave me too? This was after he taught about eating his flesh and everything. Remember that? And what did Peter say? Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal, not just life, but eternal life. Amen? Thank God for his word. But, of course, we know that you can't just be readers and hearers of the word. We must obey the word, add faith to it, and obey it if you really want the blessing. Amen? We get that straight from Jesus. Luke 11, 28, Jesus said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and obey it. Matthew 7, verses 24 through 25, this is the end of one of the great, Jesus' great sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. Everything that he taught about the Beatitudes, about praying, all those things, this is what he says at the end. You really want to receive those? Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, And it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. His word is our firm foundation. Amen. And then, of course, we're all familiar with James chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And then from an Old Testament perspective about obedience to the word, Joshua 1:8, of course everybody loves this one and knows this one. The Lord speaking to Joshua tells him, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. And he tells him, though, not just meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Amen? And this is awesome. Here's where the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant comes into play. Because when the Lord told Joshua to do that, he also told Israel, look, I'll keep my covenant with you if you obey my commandments. If you do this and do this and do this, it was conditioned upon them being obedient all the time. Well, we know they weren't obedient all the time. They kept slipping into idolatry, back and forth, serving other gods, prostituting themselves to other gods, and God would always have to send what? Judgment. He always kept his covenant. He always will keep his promise. But they couldn't do it. Why couldn't they do it? Because they didn't have new hearts. So in the new covenant, remember what God promised them? This is what he promised them. Now this is the covenant that the new covenant that I will make with the people of Israel in the days to come, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. So under the new covenant, under God's new covenant, God's law is not just here on the page, but it's inside of us. It's no longer an external set of rules and principles. The Holy Spirit reminds us of Christ's words, activates our conscience, influences our motives and desires, and it makes us want to obey. It's not a rigid thing of religion that, oh, I have to do this, I have to do this, right? Now doing God's will is something we desire with all our heart and mind. Amen? Amen. Don't you desire to do that? And of course, remember when Jesus was in the wilderness and Satan was tempting him, what did he say to him about the word of God? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And guess what? Guess what we have right here? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God that he wanted us to know for right now while we're here on earth is right here in the Bible. Amen? The Word of God is the Christian source of spiritual food, and it's our training manual for spiritual growth and victory. Remember, God's Word brings true health, fruitfulness, prosperity, and success when we believe it and obey it. The Word of God has healing power and power to deliver from oppression. The Word of God, hidden in our hearts, keeps us from sin. When we delight in God's word, it becomes a rich source of counsel and guidance for us. God's word is our source of strength. God's word is alive and it imparts life. Remember, it gives us life. They are spirit and they are life. It's a continual source of life. God's word is a source of illumination and guidance. In other words, it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It always will guide us in the right path, in the right way that he wants us to go, to do his will and do it his way. And if we do his will and do it his way, as Pastor Harvey used to always say, it's guaranteed to work, guaranteed to work every time. When God's word comes in, light comes in. God's word, remember, gives peace to those who love it. They are secure, standing in a safe place. God's word is an inherent power and authority against demonic powers. Are you being attacked by demonic powers? Learn to wield the word of God just like Jesus did. Because why? Because we know also, according to Ephesians, that the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. It's one of the only offensive weapons that are listed there. All the other pieces of armor are defensive. The word of God is your offensive weapon. And of course, prayer also is an offensive, and worship. And there's a few others. But the word of God is our main, primary, I believe, offensive weapon to use against demonic powers. Hearing God's word is essential to eternal life. There's the main one, right? You cannot pass, Jesus said in John 5:24, you cannot pass from death into life unless you hear the word of God and believe it. When you do that, you literally pass from death to life, to eternal life, to God life. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So through the word of God, we discover how much he loves us, too, which is very important for you to know. Very important for you to know. If you don't know how much God loves you, then you're not going to want to have an intimate relationship with him, right? That's why it's so important to read the word of God and know how much he loves you and get to know him through his word and through prayer. So since this is only the second week of 2020, as your pastor, I encourage you and challenge us, let's fall in love with the Word of God and meditate in it day and night. Let's read it daily, slowly, prayerfully. Always pray. When you're reading, always pray that the Holy Spirit will help you understand what you're reading, will illumine it to you and put it into your heart. It should fill our memory, rule our hearts, and guide our feet. Remember, it's a mine of wealth. So get your tools out and dig deep into it to discover the treasures that there are so many treasures that are hidden in here for us. And he will reveal them to us if we take the time to dig into his wealth, his mine of wealth. It's a river of pleasure. So dive in, right? Dive in deep to it like never before. Let's be obedient, and by faith, let's do what it says. For if we do as it promises, it will make our way prosperous and we will be victorious. The whole Bible, 2 Timothy 3:16, the modern version says, the whole Bible was given to us by inspiration from God and is useful to teach us what is true, or doctrine, make us realize what is wrong in our lives, and straighten us out and helps us to do what is right. It's God's way of making us well prepared at every point of our life so we can be fully equipped to do every good work. Amen? Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you so much for the Word of God. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you live and dwell in us now, and that it's not only written on the page, but it's written on our minds and on our hearts. And Holy Spirit, we ask you that you would come alongside of us and work with us, that you would just set us on fire for the Word of God. And as we read the Word of God, that we would obey it like never before, that we would do his will, that we would just be, the only way we can align ourselves with God is by reading the Word of God. The only way that we can know exactly what he's called us to do, what our gifts are, what he wants us to do, who he wants us to reach and touch, is by reading the Word of God. The only way we can learn to love one another and love him and know how much he loves us is by reading the Word of God. So, Father, we ask you in 2020 that we'd be more hungry for the Word of God than we ever have been before, and that it would bring forth much fruit, 30, 60, 100-fold fruit in our lives for your kingdom, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.